Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Yud Gimel, and we're starting on the fifth line from the top of the Amud. Amud of Gidla Marav. Hay afkusa de dikla, nesachachin behu, afagab de agidi. What's an afkusa de dikla? Rashi explains that that is basically the trunk or the base of a date tree, a palm tree, and says Rashi, from the palm tree is coming out from all sides the branches. And in fact, if you ever study carefully the palm trees in Florida, I'm sure David can tell you more about it than I can, you'll see that although you see only the leaves at the very top of the trees, the truth of the matter is that the leaves and the branches grow from the sides as well. It's just that they cut them so that it looks like a nice, sleek tree, but the truth of the matter is, if they wouldn't cut them, you'd have branches coming out from all sides, and probably it would block traffic and block people walking back and forth. So they cut them. So you only have the leaves all the way at the top. So our Gemara is talking about a situation where they cut towards the bottom of the tree, or for that matter, the top of the tree, and you have these branches sticking out, and you're using that for the schach on top of your sukkah. Now, the branches that you have on a palm tree are not like your standard branches that you find on your typical tree. The branches really are what would have been lulavim had you cut it down the previous sukkahs. By leaving the lulav on the tree, over the year, it gets hard and expands. It doesn't stand taut with the leaves tightly affixed to the spine, to the shedra of the lulav, rather expands in all directions. And in fact, in Eretz Yisrael, it's quite common to use that as a schach on top of your sukkah. So what our Gemara is telling us is, a person took a good part, a trunk of the palm tree, attached to it were these branches coming out, and he put it on top of the sukkah. Avagav de agidi, even though the branch and the base are all attached to one another, and you might think, uh-oh, I got a problem of a pekel. Remember in yesterday's Mishnah, back on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, we had that a chavili kash chavili eitzel chavili zrodim ein mesachin ben. This almost looks like a chavila. Almost looks like I have a bundle over here, because I have the tree together with the branches sticking out. Second Gemara, agad b'dei shemayim lo yishmei agad. The only problem with the chavilim in the Mishnah is if it's man-made. Here it's made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That doesn't passel the sukkah. You don't have to worry about the gzeiros oitzer, and you can go and use that on the top of your sukkah. And even more so, avagav the hoder agid lehu, even if the person himself now takes this single trunk with the branches sticking out, and he decides to go and tie the branches together. Why, says Rashi? Because there's a lot of space between one branch and the other, and he wants to fill it, to put it at the top of his sukkah, so it should fill up the airspace. So even if he goes and ties that clump, that trunk, together with the branches, Eged of one individual trunk and branches sticking out, that is not considered to be eged. So when would you have eged? If you have two or three separate such trunks and branches, and you tie them together, and you made a chavila, that would be a different story. But here we're talking about just one, that's not a problem. Om Rav Chizda, Om Ravina Bar Shila. Rav Chizda, Om Ravina Bar Shila says the exact same halacha, but except for instead of talking about a palm tree and the branches sticking out, he talks about reeds where you have also outgrowths or shoots that come out of reeds. Om Ravina Bar Shila, Hani Dukri Dekani, Mesachin Bahu. You have these reeds and you have these shoots coming out from the sides. You can use that for schach. Avagav de agidin ninu, even though it looks like a bundle, because you have all of these shoots sticking out and protruding from the larger reed. Agad b'deshemayim lo shemayagad. Like we said before, as long as you didn't go and bundle it together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bundled it, so then it's fine. Moreover, Avagav de hader ogid lehu, egid. What happens if he decides that the shoots are sticking out in all directions and he wants to kind of fuse them together, merge them together to fill up the space on the top of the sukkah? That's okay. Avagav de hader ogid lehu, egid b'chad lo yishmei agad. Anytime that you are just doing an agad on just one individual branch or one individual trunk, you're not putting together two or three or four different ones, that's fine. That is not considered to be a chavila, and we do not have the gezeder sa'oitzer that we spoke about yesterday in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. Tana mihochi, I'll bring a right from a braisa. Konim v'dekronim. Konim are the reeds. Dekronim are these shoots. So the Gemara in the Havamina assumes that we're talking about two separate entities, Konim and Dekronim. Mesachin behem, you can go and use them for schach on top of your sukkah. Frey Gemara, Konim, pshita, reeds, why not? After all, they are gedulei karka, and since they're not edible, they're not machal odam, so they're not makabel tumah, so of course these are kosher for schach. Says Gemara, Eima konim shel dukronim mesachin behen. Ah, not separate konim and dukronim, but rather konim reeds that have these dukronim, that have these shoots which are growing out, sticking out. Mesachin behen, you're allowed to go and make, use them for schach, even though it might have the appearance of a chavila as a bundle. No, it's fine, it's kosher, you can use it. Now, the next shtickle Gemara has nothing to do with mesachtes sukkah. It really should find itself in Masechtas Pesachim. The only reason why we bring this is because it's the same Mandi Omer that we just had. We just finished off with Omer Rav Chizda, Omer Ravina Bar Shila. So we say once again another Memra in his name, the Omer Rav Chizda, Omer Ravina Bar Shila. Hani Marisa de Agma, Odom Yois Ben Yedei Chavasi BePesach. Marisa de Agma means Moror of the Agam of the Marshes. You can use those on Pesach evening to be yoytze the mitzvah of mar. Now, the chiddush would seem to be that even though this is not just morar, it's, if you will, hyphenated morar, it's morar the agam of the marshes, it's kosher. Freiti mora meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah Masechtas Pora. When it comes to administering and sprinkling the mechatos on a person who's tamei, the way you do it is you go and take a bundle of ezoiv and you dip it into the mechatos waters, and then you give a sprinkle, a spritz, on that individual. So now the pasuk says that you have to take lekachtem ezoiv. So now the Gemara tells us ezoiv v'le ezoiv yavan v'le ezoiv kuchli v'le ezoiv midbari v'le ezoiv roimi v'le ezoiv shiyesh l'shem levai. When you want to use the ezoiv, I believe in English it's called hyssop. When you want to use ezoiv, make sure that it doesn't have a hyphenated name. It's got to be called ezoiv on itself, not Greek ezoiv and not kuchli ezoiv and not desert ezoiv and not Roman ezoiv. Any type of ezoiv that has a shem levai, no good for purposes of sprinkling the paradigma. Ah, so you see that when you have a hyphenated name, that already changes the character of that particular item. So just like it doesn't work for Ezoif for paradigma, l'chayra I should say that the moror, the agma, since it also has this hyphenated name, I should say that you're not yotzei on Pesach night. See, more good, two answers. Answer number one is Omer Abaye Kol Shnishtan Shmoi Koyde Matan Torah Uvasa Torah Vikpido Lea Biyadua Shiyesh Lashem Levoi Vahani Lnishtan Shmoi Koyde Matan Torah Klal. The Gemara means to say is there's a fundamental difference between the Ezoiv and the Morar. Ezoiv, there were already multiple types, varieties, shapes, names, origins of Ezoiv already at the time of Matan Torah. In other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu was around, together with Aharon HaKohen and Klal Yisrael, when they were receiving the Torah on Har Sinai, already at that time, if you went into a Whole Foods market, you would see rows and rows of Ezov and Ezov Yavan and Ezov Kuchli and Ezov Midbari. And since the Torah says take Ezov, it doesn't use any of those hyphenated names, so the Torah is specifically excluding any Ezov that does has a hyphenated name. It's got to be plain, old, traditional Ezov, not Greek Ezov, and not Midbar Ezov, and not Roman Ezov, just Ezov. Ah, that's the case by the Ezov. However, in the case of the Moror, at the time of Matan Torah, there were no additional hyphenated names. All Moror was called Moror. Radish, horseradish, whatever the fancy name for it is. There was no such thing as horseradish from the Agam, and no such thing as horseradish from the Midbar, and not Roman horseradish. It was all one type of horseradish. So therefore, when the Torah says Moror, it means all Morars that existed. Subsequently, apparently, people did give fancy names. They said, no, this is not just Moror. This is Agamar, and that other Mara, that's a different type of Mara. That was subsequent to Har Sinai. So the fact that the Torah just says the word Marar, Al Matzis Umaroyram Yechlu, it didn't come to exclude any other variety or type. So once again, looking at Abayis Teretz, Amar Abayi Kol Shenishtanish, Moi Koyde Matan Torah, in the case of the Ezov, there were already existing other hyphenated names for the Ezov. Ubasa Torah Vikbido Leo, and the Torah suggests Ezov. It doesn't say Ezov plus. Ah, Vidushiesh Lashem Levoi. It comes to tell you that those that do not have a Shem Levoi, just Ezov alone, is kosher. But once it has a hyphenated name, no good. They're excluded. But when it comes to Mar, Lemishtana Shemaya Kainim Matan Torah Klal, there was no such thing as multiple Morars. There was only one Morar. So there was no intent on the part of Hashem Yisparach to go and exclude other types of Morar. So therefore, Morar Agam is also good. Rava gives a separate teretz. Rava Amar Hani Marisa Stamish Mayu. The truth of the matter is that even Morar Agam is called by the public just Morar Stam. No hyphenated name, it's just called horseradish, just Marat. V'haydekar lehu, Marisa the Agma. You know why Rav Chisda called it Marisa the Agma? He called it that because of the fact that Mishum the Mishtakach the Agma. Because people apparently were asking him, Rav Chisda, this is Rav Chisda, Omer Ravina Bar Shiva. They were asking, I know Seder night we need Marar. I went to the supermarket, there's no Marar left. All the shelves are empty. Where can I go and find Mar? He said, you know, there's Mar de Agma. Meaning, go out to the marshes. You've got to walk a mile or two, or take your car, take your scooter, and you'll find that there's Mar over there. Plenty, and that's kosher Mar, just like any Mar. Now, normally everybody called that Mar just like all other Mars. They didn't distinguish in names. Rav Chisda was just trying to tell you the location. In case you can't find Mar, you can find it over there in the Agam, but that really was not part and parcel of its name, just as a matter of convenience, and as a matter of direction, he told him, you get the Morar there in the Agam. But it was called Morar by everybody, and therefore you are Yotzi de Chavase, because it's like any other Morar.
Or you could ask your Morar Dasra.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Ah, that pun was really bittersweet. Yashikoyach. And we continue on. Thank you very much, Shelley. Amar Rav Chisda, Iged Bechad Loi Shmei Agad, Sholosh Shmei Agad, Shnayim Machloikis Rav Yosi V'Ravan. This Agad that we're talking about is clearly talking about the Ezov that we were just discussing, meaning that for purposes of sprinkling the Mechatas, you have to take an Aguda of Ezov, and the Gemara is telling us what is the minimum that's 3. Remember, David told us about that yesterday. A bundle would be a minimum of 3. 1 would certainly not be enough. The question is whether 2 is enough or not. And that's a machlokes of Yisrael Rabbanan. Now, that's clearly what the Gemara is talking about, the Ezov. However, Rashi says, not only are we talking about Ezov, we're also talking about the Chavila Lischach. If you see the Rashi, which is parallel to our Gemara, Rashi says, Lo Yishmei Agad, Loy le'inyan chavila l'schach, v'loy le'inyan agudas ezoiv. When it comes to the chavil l'schach that we had yesterday in the Mishnah, what would be the minimum to disqualify the chavile eitzim and chavile zrodim that we had in the Mishnah? The minimum would have to be 3. If you only had one, it's not considered to be a chavila, and that would certainly be kosher for the top of the sukkah. Why would a bundle be possible? You remember we had a lengthy discussion about that yesterday, because of gezeiras oitzer, and the Gemara had a havamina, maybe because of tas of aloy mina osui. Anyway, when we learned the Mishnah, we learned the Gemara yesterday, I asked everybody what's the minimum number of pieces that you're putting together in a bundle, and David immediately raised his hand, 3, and that in fact is our Gemara here, that the Gemara over here is saying that the minimum for Agad is Shalish, is 3. And I told everybody, but look at the Tosis on Yud Beis Amid Aleph, when it's talking about the Chavilim, and Tosis says, Chavile is Rodum, the last Tosis on the Amid, brings Yerushalmi, the Ein Chavila Pechusa Me Esrim V'Chamisha Konim. The minimum for the size of a chavila, of a bundle of zrodim or kash or eitzim that we had in the Mishnah, the minimum is 25. And that certainly is at odds with what we're saying now, that the minimum is 3. So there are a number of different approaches given by the Rishonim to respond to this. Some Rishonim say it's a machlokes between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi requires 25 to be a chavila, and our Gemara only requires 3. It's a little bit, that sounds fine. The only problem is then, why would Tosis back on Daf Yud Beis quote Yerushalmi when Tosis knows that one blot later, the Gemara is going to go and tell us that 3 is the minimum and not 25. So that lechayr is a bit of a shver pshat. That's pshat number one. Another pshat that they give is that in fact, they do not learn like Rashi, that the Gemara is referring to both the Agad of the Chavil L'Schach and the Agudas Ezoiv, but our Gemara is only talking about Agudas Ezoiv for sprinkling on a person who's Tameh, and the prior Gemara in Daf Yud Beis, that's talking about Chavila, but our Gemara is not talking about Chavila. But of course, that doesn't work with Rashi, because Rashi says, Befeirush, that we are talking about Chavila. So that L'Chayra doesn't work. Another reason that another pshat that's given, and this pshat l'chayra has a beautiful ring to it, if you will, not to chas v'sholom to discount the other pshatim, but since we said at the top of the omid that we learned earlier about the afkusa de dikla and the dukre de kani, that we said that if you have this trunk of the palm tree where you have protruding the various branches, and remember the Gemara said that even if you tie up those branches so that they fit compactly and therefore close up ear pockets or ear space at the top of the sukkah, that's gonished. Because agad dechad lo yishmei agad. You're only tying one individually itself, that's not an agad. So it says now our Gemara, that's true. But if you were to take 3 together, that would be an agad. Meaning, then the case of individual branches, individual pieces of wood, individual reeds, kash, etc., to constitute a chavila, says Tosis, based on Yerushalmi, you'd need 25. However, here we're talking about the trunk of a tree that already has branches sticking out, where if you tie it up, it already looks like a shtikel chavila, but our Gemara said, no, it's not a chavila, it's only one, it's got to be more. Ah, so the question is, how many? Says Rav Chizda, Egan b'chad lo yishmei agad, one alone is taka nothing, like we said at the top of the Amid. However, if you were to go and tie 3 of these trunks with the various branches sticking out, that would be an agad, because although normally you need 25, but here, since each one of them already has a few branches sticking out, so 3 together looks like a chavila. On the other hand, however, if you only had 2, that's already machlekes Rabbi Yosef Rabban. Where is this machlekes Rabbi Yosef Rabban? It says the Gemara Ditnan, a Mishnah Masechtas Parah, mitzvahs ezoiv, the mitzvah of ezoiv for dipping into the mechatas and sprinkling on someone, is shloisha kolachim, ubehen shloisha givoylin. The art scroll translates Shloisha Kalachim as being three sprigs. And then Shloisha Gevoilim, something like stalks or something sticking out. I'm not exactly sure what sprigs are, but regardless, we're talking about the Ezev grows in Kalachim. Kalachim presumably means something like a stalk, and Gevoilim are shoots that are coming. They are in each one of the Kalachim, and Rashi says it doesn't mean that you have to have three times three. It means in each Kalach, in each one of the stalks of the Ezev, you have one shoot inside of it. So it's one kelach with one give oil. And when the Gemara says shloish kelach and behen shloish give oil, it means respectively that each kelach has one give oil. Anyway, that's the minimum for purposes of sprinkling the paraduma water. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mitzvahs ezoif shloish give oilin. Yeah, the mitzvah is taka three, like the Tanakhama says. We're going to see in the Gemara shortly. Is there a machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi? They both say three kolachim, three givoylim. But now Rabbi Yossi adds something that the Tanakhama doesn't address. The shiur of shnayim. Shiur of shnayim explains Rashi that what happens if initially you, in fact, you did bind together and bundle together three, but over time you use this already to go and sprinkle on 100 or 1,000 tmei mes, and one of the three givoylim slipped out of the bundle. So shirayim may only have a remaining two. That's kosher. Shir of shirayim is also good. The gardum of kosher. Garduma means that the hyssop is somewhat long, like a blade of grass, so to speak. And then you go and dip it into the water. Each time that you dip it in, and then you sprinkle, and dip in, and sprinkle, and dip in, and sprinkle, Rashi says that the grass or the leaves of these of the azoif is rather soft in texture, and then over time it's going to fall off. And since it's going to fall off, all you're going to have remaining is just the bottom, the roots that you're holding in your hand. And that's also good bidieved. In other words, you cannot start off with garduman. Garduman means that bottom of the bundle that you're holding in your hand to go, and which initially had these beautiful azoifs sticking out, but over time all those azoifs, because of their soft texture, they all fell away after using it for 100 times or 1,000 times. So gardum of koshu, that's also enough, but the other gardum of koshu. Fine. So now, remember, we're trying to establish that there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbanon about shnayim, a bundle of two. So says Yimar, kasol kadai, we assumed that since Rabbi Yossi added this shiur of shnayim, remember shiur of shnayim means that one fell out, slipped out of the bundle. But the shiur of shnayim tchilas in amishnayim, that when Rabbi Yossi talked about the shiur of shnayim, that he meant to say is really you only need two even to start off with. Aye, then why did Rabbi Yossi say mitzvahs ezev shloisha givoylim? Right, the 20 shloisha la mitzvah lechat chila. It's good to have three, but it's not ma'akev. If you have two, it's also good. Just like shirayim are two, so two at the beginning is also two is enough. You don't need three. Aha. Umid Rabbi Yossi shloisha la mitzvah. Since Rabbi Yossi says it's only a mitzvah alichat chila, but it's not ma'akev, the rabbanon shloisha li'akev. It would appear then the rabbanon say, no, you have to have three. And apparently you have to have three at all times because it's ma'akev. Oh, so therefore, that would be a nice pshat in explaining what Rav Chisda was saying. Rav Chisda said, everybody agrees one is not a bundle. Everybody agrees three is a bundle. There's a machloikis, Rav Yosef Rabbanan, about two. And it would be dependent on this machloikis. That according to Rav Yosef, you only really need two. And according to Rabbanan, you have to have a minimum of three. So the chayda, that's a perfect way of understanding it. Says Yimar, but no vatanya. I have a braisa that says just the opposite. Rabbi Yossi Oimer Ezoiv. And the Bach says, Shetchilos Eishnayim. Ezoiv that you started off with two. Vishiyar of Echad, and now you're down to one. That's possible. It's possible. Ve'ene kosher achihet chilos eishloisha. You gotta start with three. If you started with three, and one falls out, Shiyar of Shnayim is good, even with two. But you gotta start with three. If that's the case, Rabbi Yossi holds that three is ma'akev. He says, posel, the ain't a kosher, Ad she tichilas shloisha. So Rabbi Yosi is the one that holds ma'akiv. So what are you telling me that it's the Rabbanan that holds its ma'akiv, and Rabbi Yosi says le mitzvah? Says Yimai, you know what? I agree with you. Epach, we're going to reverse the two. The Rabbi Yosi shloisha li'akiv. The Rabbanan shloisha le mitzvah. It's taka just the opposite. When you go back to the Mishnah that we were quoting before, mitzvah says shloisha kolochim. This is the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama is telling us le mitzvah you should have three. Rabbi Yosi says, "This is nishla mitzvah. Mitzvah says of shloisha gevaylim. It's ma'akev. You know when you could talk about two shirayim is two, but the mitzvah of ezov is ma'akev. It has to have three. And the Gemara says v'atanya. This is beloshen nichusa, meaning the Gemara is bringing this as a raya that according to the Rabbanan, shloisha is only the mitzvah. This brisa is the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan are saying ezov shetchilos ishnayim. If you started off with two." The shiur of echad, and one fell away, and you're down to one, that's kosher. Oh, so you see very clearly that the Rabbanan of the Braisa hold that you only need two lechatchila, that's enough for an aguda for a bundle, while Rabbi Yosi says, oh, no, no, it's possible, achihe tchilosoi shlosha. So with this we have found... Yes?
Need to as a mitzvah, isn't this all about to do the mitzvah, and there's no other reason to even have the bundle?
When we're using the term mitzvah, we're using it to exclude the term la'akev. La'akev means that if you didn't do it that way, you're not yotze. It doesn't work. When you say it's la mitzvah, it means that you could do something less, but l'chatchila, preferably, you should go and do it in this fashion. So, yes, if you only had two of the azovs and you used that for the sprinkling, it would be effective. It would be valid. However, if you went to the rabbi and you'd say to him, what's the minimum number I should have l'chatchila when I'm starting off the sprinkling? The rabbi would say, for sure, three. But rabbi, I already sprinkled five people, and each one of them I only used two. And all five of these people have went away now, and I can't find them, and I don't know their names, I don't have their addresses, I don't have their email contacts. What do I do? The rabbi will say, it's kosher. But it's not glat kosher lichatchila. You shouldn't have done it that way. But once you did it, it's okay. So the word mitzvah, of course we don't mean mitzvah as opposed to aveira chasishon. Mitzvah means lichatchila. Preferably, the way you're supposed to do it is using three. But if you didn't use three, you only used two, it's not ma'akif. However, if you only used one, everybody would agree the sprinkling was not valid because you have to have a bundle, not just one single asaf. Getting back to our Gemara, V'atanya, so V'atanya is the raya, Eidot Chilos Vishnayim, V'shiyor of Echad is Kashin. So that we now have answered, or we have found the source of what Rav Chizda said before, that Shnayim Machloikis Rebbeis V'Rabban. Now the Gemara is going off just a moment on a side note, and the Gemara is going to ask a stira, because this Bryce internally seems to be inconsistent. We start off the Bryce again, three lines from the bottom. V'tanya, Eizev Shetchilos Yishnayim Shiyor of Echad, kosher. If you start off with two, it's kosher. If you end up with one shirayim, because you originally had a bundle of two or three or more, and they fell out and you're down to one, also kosher. You know when it would be possible, according to the Rabbanan? If you started off with one, or if you left with one, it would be possible. One second. Didn't we just say a moment ago, shiur of echad is kosher? And now you're telling me shiur of echad is possible. Make up your mind. What's the din by shirayim? Remember, shirayim means you started off correctly with two or three or more, and then over time, the knot around your bundle started loosening, and one fell out, another fell out. You're down to one. So the Tanakhama says, not the Tanakhama, the Reisha of the Braisa says, shiur of echad is kosher. Okay, as long as you started off well, you started off with two, three more, good. Even though there's only one left, kosher. The aim of pasul, you know when it becomes pasul? Actually, tichilasoi, shvishiyor of echad. It becomes pasul if the shirayim is down to one. Shiur of Echad Pasul? Well, obviously you just got finished saying Shiur of Echad Kosher. Make up your mind. If you only have one left, is it kosher or is it not kosher? Zaktimore Ella Enima. I should take Chilosa Kishiur of Echad. When would it be Pasul? If you started off with like Shiur of Echad, meaning that you only used one instead of using two or three, then Kuli Alma Moida, no good. How many do you have to start off with? Everybody agrees a minimum of three would be ideal. That would be preferable. Rabbi Yossi says, not only is it ideal and preferable, you have to have three. Because if you have two, no good. Well, the Rabbanan say, Rabbi Yossi, don't be so strict. Three, I agree with you, is preferable. But if you only have two, it's also good. And you don't have to be concerned. So that's the machlokes, whether two is enough or not. Okay, we start a new shtick. Dorish Moreima. Now let's go back to the Mishnah back on Yudbeis Amud Aleph, where we said that if you put a chavila, a bundle of the kash, or the eitzim, or the zrodim on top of your sukkah, it's not good. Ein mesachin behen. And we concluded yesterday in the name of Rabbi Yankov, Mishum Rabbi Yochanan, that the reason is of Gzeiras Hu'oitzer. Gzeiras Hu'oitzer means that if you're going to allow for this bundle on top, even though you put it L'Shem Schach for Sukkis, however, people will say, aha, so what happens if I have a bundle which is wet, and I'm putting it on the top of my Sukkah, not for Sukkis. In fact, it's in the middle of the summer. It got wet and I want it to dry out. So I leave it there for a day or for a week until it becomes nice and dry. And once it's up there, I say, you know what? Why don't I just leave it and I can use it for Sukkos now? I don't have to go and take it down. So the Gemara said, yeah, but Gzeiras Hu'oitzer, that people will then come to assume that things that you put away for storage, like a storage bin or like a shed, that, hey, this is a great sukkah. It has walls on all sides, and it's full of kash and full of eitzim, and it has this makeshift roof, which we call schach. I'll move in for sukkahs. I'll have a full 7 days. And the Gemara says that we don't want that, because that was not made l'shem tzeil. It wasn't made for shade. It wasn't made for sukkahs. It was just made for storage. Because in Gzeiras Hu'oitzer, it's no good. So now our Gemara tells us that not all bundles are created equally. Dorish Mareimer, Hani Isuraisa. Isuraisa means bundles. The Sura of the town of Sura. Mesachachin Behu, those you can use at the top of your sukkah. Why? Because Afagav the Ogdon, even though there is a chavila, there is a bundle of these eitzim, nevertheless, Lamanyanabi Almud the Ogdan, it was never meant for purposes of storage, it was only meant for selling in the store. In other words, what Maraimer is telling us is that when we spoke about the Chavile Kash, Chavile Eitzim, Chavile Zrodim in the Mishnah yesterday, that's the way people would store it. They would leave it in their shed, they would leave it in their storage bin, perhaps for 6 months, perhaps for a year, all bound up in this nice bundle until the person would need it for firewood, for cattle fodder, whatever, and then he would go and take it out. But otherwise, it was bundled at all times. And that's why it's shayach to have the Gzeiras Hu'oitzer. However, in Surah, all of these bundles were really only for temporary purposes, that if a person owned these eitzim or zrodim and wanted to sell them, so as a matter of convenience, instead of a person coming to the store and having to count out each one individually, he would go and put a rope around it, a string around it, say 25 to a bundle, and a person would go and buy one bundle. But presumably as soon as he came home, he would go and open it up, because that's not the way they stored it. If you look at Rashi, the third and fourth line from the top, Isuraisa de Surah, Chavile Konim, these are bundles of reeds, Shoye Oysen Limkar Bashuk, that they would go and sell out in the marketplace, Umaychen Oysen Beminyan, and they would sell it Beminyan 25, like Toysis said, or whatever the number was, but it wasn't intended to leave it that way. Like the next Rashi says, Mesachich Ben, you can use them for schach, the Eimehem Bishum Gzeiras Hu'oitzer. You don't have to worry about the Gzeiras Hu'oitzer that we spoke about yesterday. The Chol Yemois Hashana of the entire year that you have this gzeira of the oitzer, the fisha ain derech lahatzniyam be'agodam, because it's not the derech to go and matzniyam. Matzniyam means to hide, but here it doesn't mean to hide, it means to store. It's not the derech to store them as a bundle. When they get home, they open them up. So why do they go and tie them in the first place? Says Rashi, Eliminyana ba'alma, Agdinu ad shiyamachru. He only bundles it until he sells it. Va'loikhan liyabshan. What happens? Someone who says, these reeds are a little too moist, I want to have dry reeds. You know what he does? Mat'altan. He immediately opens up the bundle. He doesn't leave it bundled. You don't have to open up the bundle. You can leave it bundled and put it on top of your sukkah. And it's kosher, because there's no gzeiras ha'oitzer, because everybody knows that nobody stores it in this fashion. So what Maramer is telling us is that there's an exception to the rule of yesterday's Mishnah with the Isurais of the Surah, because it was not the custom and the tradition to go and store them bundled. Omer of Abba, Hani Tzarifi di Urveni, Kimit Shehutra, Rashi Madanim Shalehen, Kshedim. Now what is Tzarifi di Urveni? A picture is worth a thousand words. For those of you that have the art scroll, you see a very pretty picture over there. What Tzarifi di Urveni are is, Urveni means Aravois, those are the weeping willows that we use as part of the set of Arba Minim on Sukkis. And what they would do would be is to make a tzrif. A tzrif means to make like a little enclosure, a little hut that a person would be able to go and sit in. And to, how did they form this tzrif? They took 10, 20, 30, 40 of these aravois. We're talking about very long aravois. And they would go and tie them at one end all the way at the top to keep them together. And then they would let them spread out down below. And to make sure that they don't all kind of fall away and fall on one another, they would put another string around them very loosely, but in a braided form. Braided in the sense that they went in and out in between the various stems of these aravois and kept it together nicely. So on the top, it's very, very narrow. Down below, it's much wider. And a person can go and sit in such a makeshift hut made out of these orvini, out of these aravis. Now what happens if a person decides, I don't need it anymore? The reason why, by the way, that people would make such a tree for the orvini, says Rashi, that nechbon besoyche tzayode oifois, those that were in the business or had the custom to go and capture fowl, and they wanted to kind of surprise the fowl, so then they would sit in these tree for the orvini, and then when a nice big bird would come by, they would jump out presumably and try to catch it with a net or something similar. Okay, now what happens if a person doesn't need the tzrif in the Urbani anymore, and now he wants to use it for schach? Now the schach is tied at the top, and there's a much looser type of tying in the form of this braiding down below. What do I need to do to make this into kosher schach? If I were to go and just take this and put it on top of my sukkah, put it flat, in other words, don't keep it upright the way it is, but flatten it out and put it on top of the sukkah, I got a problem, because it's tied at the top. And we said that bundles are no good. So what do we do? Says Yimar Kim Shahutra Rashi Madanim Shalem, as soon as you open up the tie at the top, Ksherim, and therefore take the whole tree for the Orvini, just make a cut at the top so that the you no longer have that tight tie at the top of the tree for the Orvini, and put it down in your sukkah and it's kosher. But there's also a tie down below. It's not that tight tie like you have up above. It's this braided thing that goes around and around to hold it in place. Shouldn't you have to go and cut that open as well? So Amra Papa, you're right, the Sharluhu. Yeah, you have to cut that. You have to cut the upper one where you have the tight tie, and you have to go and cut the bottom tie. You're absolutely right. Ravuna Brevi Shua says, no. Even if he doesn't untie or cut the bottom tie, you know when it's considered to be an effective bundle? When you can go and carry it as a bundle from place to place, and you're not worried the whole thing is going to fall apart. If you're talking about a bundle where the thing is not properly bundled, then you can't go and carry it, because as you know, after a few feet, then part of the bundle is going to fall to the ground from the front, from the back, from the sides. It's an ishgit. And therefore what Avuna Bar Yeshua says is, as long as you've cut the upper cutting, then that's already sufficient, because you don't have to cut the bottom one. Because this bundle is no longer a bundle. Nobody's going to go and cut it first, and then try to go and be metaltal it, move it from place to place, because he'll find quickly that all the aravos are going to fall out from the agat. By definition, he cut open the top. The bottom was, very nicely braided, the some sort of string or rope that braided from the bottom, but that's not effective to hold it together as a bundle. So if you're going to try to carry it from one place to the other place, it's just going to fall apart. So it's not considered to be a chavila, and therefore you can use it already for schach at the top of your sukkah. Omrav Abba Meshmuel, Yirakish Omr Chacham Odom Yoytz Behen Yedechei Vasei BePesach. Those types of vegetables, the various types of moror that you can use for bitter herbs on Pesach. You remember we had in Maseches Pesachim a Mishnah which listed, I believe, five of them. It was moror and ulshin and other things in chazeres and other things. Anyway, those things that a person can use for Pesach night, number one, mevi'en es hatuma, number two, ve'en choytzim fnei hatuma, and number three, upoysel basuka mishum avir. Now, what are these three halachas? The mevi'en es hatuma, ve'en choytzim fnei hatuma. We had this, if you recall, a couple of days ago in the Gemara. I believe this was Friday's Gemara. What was that? What happens if you were to go and have here outside, not inside a room, outside. You have, let's say, you have a table, for instance, and the table was pshuta kliyot, it was not mekabel tuma. On the right side of the table, you had a kezayis min hames. Nebuch Rachman Litzlan, piece of mess. Now, obviously, if you touch that piece of mess, if you pick it up, you touch it, you become tame. But I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to move it. On the same table, you have 3 feet away, you have a kli, or you have ochlin. You have either a vessel or you have food, but they're not touching the mess. I have nothing to do with it. It's the other end of the table. Or if you want to make your life simpler, take away the table, just you have exayis min a mess on the floor, and removed from it by a foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, whatever you want, you have vessels or you have food. So as long as one doesn't touch the other, you're fine. The foods and the oichlin, the vessels, they're all tahar. What happens if you were to take now a long board, and this board had the width of a tefach, and it was so long that if you held it over these two individual items, it would shelter both of them. It would go on the right side, it would go over the kzayis min hames. On the left side, it would go on top of the food or the vessel. In other words, it was the same length of distance. If it was 2 feet apart, this was a board of 2 feet, 3 feet. It covered both of them. If it was at least a tefach or higher above, it would have the status of an ohel, and it would be mevi es hatumah. It would act as a tumah conductor and transfer the tumah that you have in the kzayis min hames and transfer it to the ochlin or to the vessels, so that both of them would now be tumah. That's what we call mevi es hatumah. It's a conductor of tumah. Now, what does that mean in our case? Here we're not talking about boards, here we're talking about yirakos. So if you had a long, long horseradish that extended from over the kzayis min hames to the other side to over foods or kalim, then it would be an effective conductor of tuma from one to the other, and the food or the kalim would become tame. Now, what happens then? Choytzim mifnei hatuma. What means choytzim mifnei hatuma? What happens if instead of talking about transferring the tuma, we have, let's talk about the same board that we spoke about before. The board was lying over, not really, it was suspended over a kzayis min hames, and on top of the board you had a kli. Now the question is, well, you had food. Does the kli or the food become tame because they are mahil on the mess? They're on top of the mess. They're not directly over the mess, they're on this board which is over the mess. So if that board is wide enough, a tefach, then it is, and there's also the space of tefach between the mess down below and between where the board is suspended, then we say there's enough room for the tumma to remain below the board, and it acts as a chatitza, and it will now not allow for the tumma to be metameh the kli, or the food which is sitting on top of that board. But here we're not talking about a board, we're talking about these yirakos. So, although we said that the yirakos are effective to go and act as a conductor and transfer tumma from the mess to the food items or to the kalim, however, if that very same yirakos had below it the mess, on top of it other food items, or, for instance, a kli, it would not be a chatzitza, and rather, unfortunately, the tumma would go up and be metame that kli or that food. Why is there a difference, legabi, the mevius atumma and chaytzef nei atumma? This is a fairly lengthy Rashi, and Rashi says that min haTorah, the truth of the matter is, it would be an effective chatzitza, just like it's an effective conductor. The reason why it's not chaytzev ne'atumah is midrabanan. And the reason why midrabanan, says Rashi, is because when these morars initially are brought here to the table, to our Gemara, we're talking about that they're still fresh, young, and moist. And therefore, that's why they have leaves, and that's why they are effective to act as both conductors and to act as a chatzitza, min haTorah. However, if you let these morars stick around, take for instance, instead of talking about a horseradish, let's talk about romaine lettuce, which most people consider to be chazeres, chasa, that leaf will eventually shrivel up. When it shrivels up, it's going to fall apart and it won't be an effective chatzitza. So therefore we say that even when it's still moist, it's not an effective chatzitza. Gezeira that people are going to think that even the dried out moror is a good chatzitza. So, midrabanan, it's not a chatzitza. Fine. What we're really focusing on more is not the question of tumma, but the final halacha. Upoisel mesukah mishum avir. That if you were to go and put up fresh romaine lettuce on top of the sukkah. Now, fresh romaine lettuce, l'choyra, has a problem. And the problem is that it is makabel tumma, because it's a food item. After all, we eat it on Pesach. And if we're talking about romaine lettuce, there are lots of people who eat romaine lettuce throughout the year as well. Some people eat it on a daily basis. Rashi, however, says, lav machel odom nino. It's not a machel odom. So, Toisis on the side, you have a fairly lengthy Toisis, says that this is a mistake, and the Rashi did not mean that it's not a machel odom. Of course it's a machel odom. But the reason why the romaine lettuce would not be makabel tumma, it's talking about a case where it was never wetted after it was harvested. Nobody put any water or any of the seven special liquids on it, so it never became mukhshar lekabel tumma, never became susceptible to receiving tumma, and that's the reason why it is not mekabel tumma. So then it should be an effective schach. The problem is, says the Gemara, we look upon this yirakos as if it's non-existent, as if it's zero, it's avir, my timer. Since when eventually the romaine lettuce is going to shrivel, it's going to dry out, it's going to become shriveled, brittle, and fall down, even when it's still fresh, it's considered to be as if it's non-existent. Now, when the Gemara uses the expression poisel mesukah mishum avir, why mishum avir? So Rashi points out that later on in Miyat Hashem, in another 4 days, we're going to learn in the Gemara that there's a difference between avir and poisel eschach. Avir, which means that it's just empty. You have an empty space at the top of your sukkah. If the empty space is 3 tvachim or more, that would poisel the schach. However, if you're using schach posel, even though it's posel schach, but it's schach, there is no air space, then you get a further allotment of a fourth tefach. four tvachim would make it possible. If it's only three tvachim of pasul eschach, it's still kosher. If it's four tvachim, then it's possible. Our case of the romaine lettuce, since it's going to eventually shrivel and fall away, it's deemed to be as if now it's non-existent, and therefore the shiur is the three tvachim and not the four tvachim. Now, most people do not go and put romaine lettuce on top of the sukkos for schach. However, it does have practical application, because those people that do not use, for instance, bamboo sticks, but rather go and cut off branches from a tree and put that on top of their sukkah, and that branch has on it tons of leaves, and you see, oh, the sukkah is so nicely covered from end to end. If those leaves are the type that after a day or two or three, they shrivel up, they dry out, and they fall away, at that point, you might find, uh-oh, there are so many holes in this schach, all of those shriveling and falling leaves, and then it's just the big pieces of wood without any leaves at all. And you'll have so much ear space on top of your sukkah, it'll be chamsa maruva mitzilasa, it'll be possible. What our Gemara is telling us is, not only at that time, on the third, fourth, fifth day of Sukkot, it won't be kosher if and when those leaves fall off, but even on day number one, when the leaves are still nice and fresh and moist and they look tremendous, if I know that that's the tendency of these leaves, that after a few days that they have been detached from the ground, from the tree, that they're going to shrivel up and fall away, already at the outset of Sukkot, it will not be kosher, because they're deemed it's as if they don't exist already now, and you won't have a kosher sukkah. So that's why it's good to use things like bamboo leaves, or not bamboo leaves, those bamboo sticks, because there's nothing to dry out and nothing to fall away. Those can last for 100 years. The Omer of Abba Omer of Huna, Haboitze Lagas in Le Yodois. Ramanashe Bagada Omer of Huna, Hakoitze Laschach in Le Yodois. What exactly is a yad? Now, yad is not really our sugya. It's a sugya that you have in a number of other places. A yad means a stem which is attached to, for instance, a fruit or to a vegetable. Now, you cannot eat stems. However, very often you want to handle the food item by holding on to the stem. You can buy in the supermarket, you can go and buy apples that have the stem. Instead of touching the apple, you can hold it up by the stem. More importantly, if you want to go and get organic tomatoes and pay double the price, you can go and get tomatoes which are still attached to a stem. And it really looks pretty, and of course you have to pay more for that. Now what happens if a tumah, nevela, or a dead sheretz doesn't touch the tomato? It just touches the stem. The stem is what we call a yad, and the yad is a conductor of tumah. So that even though the tumah didn't touch the tomatoes, it touched the stem of the tomatoes would become tumay because it's considered to be a conductor or an extension of the tomatoes. Okay, very good. Now what Gemara tells us, the same thing you have in connection with grapes. Grapes are attached to a stem, a cluster of grapes, or maybe even part of the vine, and it is divine to be able to hold up these grapes without having to touch the grapes, just holding it up by the vine. So does that also have a din of yad? Says Rav Huna, says Rav Abba Am Rav Huna, Haboitzelagas, if the reason why you have cut this vine with the grapes attached is not because you want to eat the grapes, but because you are going to quickly take this into the gas, into the wine press, to go and press out the wine from the grapes, then ein lo yodos. Then this vine and the stems that are touched the grapes do not have the status of a yad, and therefore they will not conduct tumah. The reason is, says Rashi, because if a person is taking these grapes into the gas, he wants to remove as quickly as possible these stems, because if the stem remains on the grapes, as the grapes are being crushed into wine or into juice, then the stems are going to absorb some of the juice, and it's just going to go li'ibud, because eventually you're going to throw these stems out. You don't want to hold on to the stems. Nobody finds stems in their bottles of wine, and therefore they're just going to absorb some of it. So I don't want these yodos. Get them out of here. So therefore the yad does not have a chshivas of a yad. and there is no din of conducting tumah. That's Reb Abba Om Rav Huna. Reb Menashe Bar Gada Om Rav Huna says the same thing applies to schach. Schach, I have eitzim, and attached to the eitzim, I have fruits attached to it, food attached to it. The foods are not kosher for schach because they're makabel tuma, but they're only a small percentage, and therefore they're not going to passel the schach. So I have this long branch, and there's some berries there, some tomatoes, not tomatoes, but apples, oranges, whatever attached to it. What's the status of those fruits were attached to the schach? Hakoitz l'schach in leyoveis. Those fruits have no, will not conduct tumma to the rest of the schach, because the person says, I don't want these fruits, I don't need these fruits. They're only troublesome because they are non-kosher schach. I wish they wouldn't be there. So therefore they are not something that you desire, and they do not have a din of yad to conduct tumma. So the principle of both Rav Abba and Rav Nasha Bar Gada, who are both saying the name of Rav Huna, is the same. That when does a stem act as a conductor of tumma? When you want the stem, because you want to be able to handle the fruit or the vegetables without even touching the fruits and the vegetables, just holding it by the stem. But if it's a situation where you don't want the stem, you want to get rid of it, then there's no din of conducting because it's not a yad. I don't need it, I don't want it, get rid of it. So now the Gemara says, Man di Omar Koitzer, that's the second Man di Omar, Rav Menashe Bar Gada, that says, Koitzer l'schach in l'yodes, Kolshkin boitzer, he would certainly agree with Rav Abba that if the stem is attached to grapes which are being put into the gas, certainly d'loy nichala, he doesn't want those stems, d'loy nimtzai l'chamre, because he doesn't want the stems to absorb and suck up some of the wine. So of course he doesn't want it. Man the Omer Boitzer, She'ein lo yodois, that's the first man the Omer Reb Abba, that said a person who's Boitzer, Legas, the stems are not considered a yad, Avol Koitzer Yesh lo yodois. He could disagree with Reb Menashe Bar Gada and say for purposes of Schach, the person in fact would want these food items to still be attached to the schach. The nichalei to lischach behu, he's happy that they're attached, ki heichalei levadran, because he doesn't want the schach to scatter. Now, what does that mean, he doesn't want the schach to scatter? So Tosis here, on the right-hand margin down below, if you see delei levadran, the second line of Tosis, v'yesh meforshim shiach bidu, Roshi Shibolim al Hakoshin, V'lo Yispardu Hakoshin Mi'al HaSukkah Beruach. We always have a fear that there's going to be some sort of wind, and that wind, if your schach is not heavy-duty schach, the wind might blow it away. So the person says to himself, I'm very happy that these stems, let's talk about, for instance, stems of a of grapes. Stems of grapes are very lightweight. You have 100 or 1,000 of them covering over the sukkah. As long as it's not windy, great, you got good schach. But what happens if you have one nice wind? It could blow it all away. So the person says to himself, oi, halavai, I have some grapes attached to it here, there, and everywhere. That will be machbid, that will hold it down. So a person wants these fruits to be attached, so therefore it would have the status of yad, after all, according to that mandiyama. Let's say that the halacha of Rav Menashe Bar Gada, that's the second man yama who talks about koitzel l'schach, that ein lo yodos, let's say that this is a machloikis tanoi. This time we have a brisa. Soichi te'enim ubehen te'enim. What are soichi? Rashi says, anfei te'enim. These are branches of a fig tree where you have some figs attached. Parchilun ubehen anovim. These are vines from the vineyard, have some grapes attached. Kashin, you have hay or straw, ubehen shibolim, and they still have some of the original grain in it. Machbedois, says Rashi, are anfeidekel. These would be the branches of a palm tree. Ubehen tamarim, there's still some tamarim, still some dates attached. Kulon, in each one of these cases, even though I have a mixture here of kosher schach and the non-kosher schach, the kosher schach being the branches, and the non-kosher schach being the fruits. And psoilis murvalo oichlin kshera. If the branches, which is the psoilis, You don't want the branch, you only want the fruit to eat. But here I want the branch for purposes of bi'osvacha, mi'garncha, mi'kvecha, the psolis, goren, v'yekev, I want it for the schach. So in the psolis, if the branches are greater in volume and amount, ala oichlin, than the food, ksheira, then it's kosher, because I basically have a kosher sukkah with kosher schach, and I have a miut, a small amount of the food items. Vimla, but if it's the other way around, if I have more food, then I have kosher schach, then a psula, because the food, since it's mekabel tumah, it is not kosher schach. So therefore, what did the Tanakama require? He required that the psolis be greater than the ochel. What do Acherim say? Acherim oimrim, achu kashin merubin al hayodos li alo oichlin. Not only on the food items, but even any stems that might be sticking out from the food item. You want to make sure that the kashin are roiv, are in the majority against not only the ochel, but even on the yodos. Now the question is, who cares about the yodos? Didn't Rav Menashe Bar Gada say that ein lo yodos, koitz l'schach ein lo yodos, because they are worthless? I don't want them. I don't need them. It's as if they don't exist. But yet, Achirim says, no, you got to make sure that the kashin is maruba, is more than the yodos and the oichlis. My lab balkam iflagi l'choy, what's the machlekes? Mar sova, that's the Achirim. Yesh len yodos. No, that the foods which are attached, and the yodos and the stems which are attached to the schach, they are favorable. I want them, because I want them to hold down, to weight down the schach, that it shouldn't blow away. So therefore, it's possible this stuff, these bad schach yodos. So you have to make sure that the psoilis is roiv, goes and trumps it by the fact that it's the majority. Umar Sov and the Tanakhama says, Eilen yodos, the yodos, this is worthless. This is, it doesn't exist. They're invisible. And therefore, you don't have to have a roif. So, l'choira, you have a machloikis. Whether ha-koitze l'schach yesh lan yodos, ein lan yodos. Says, you want the Rabba v'adei tanoi. Rabba is one that said, boitze l'gas ein lan yodos. But he said that when it comes to koitze l'schach, it could be yesh lan yodos. And therefore, I see takna chayram hold yesh lan yodos, but not the Tanakhama. So it's v'adei tanoi. What about Rav Menashe Bar Gada? Would he also be forced to say that since Rav Menashe Bar Gada says a koitz l'schach ein lo yodos, well, that's the Tanakhama. Acherim hold the yesh lo yodos. Would you say that it's a machlokes? Omer Rav Menashe, no. The kuliyam masavi a koitz l'schach ein lo yodos. Everybody can hold like me. V'alchem ma'iskino. Here we're talking about a special circumstance. You're going to koitz son la'achila v'nivach alein l'sikoch. Initially, when he cut these sochei te'enim ubehen te'enim parchilin ubehen anovim, he initially cut these branches or these vines, and there were fruits attached to it. He wanted these fruit, and he wanted the vines, and he wanted the branches to be able to hold, to transport, to go and move the fruit. You know, you don't want to have to take bags of to take off each individual fruit and put into a bag or put into a box. They can get spoiled. Leave it rather attached to the branch until the last moment, when you're ready to go and cut it, and then you cut it off of the branch. So initially, he cut the branch of the fig tree for the purpose of eating the fig fruit. Subsequently, he said, you know what, it's almost sukkis. I didn't buy enough bamboo. I went to the bamboo store, they're sold out. And therefore, you know what, I'm going to use some of these soichi te'enim for schach. Ah, so then this type of situation, since initially he cut it for the fruit, then the fruit has a chashivus, and the yodos have a chashivus, and therefore the psolis, meaning the branch, is going to have to be the rov against both the fruit and the yodos and the stems. But that's the case where you would not say that koitz tzchach ein lo yodos. Here it would have yodos, because I wanted the fruit, and therefore the fruit has a yad, and it conducts to me. So this is an exception to the rule. Frey Timora, ikoitz l'achila, if this is talk of the case, that he first cut it for achila, might tamay the Rabbanan. So why did the Rabbanan not require that the psoles be the roiv against the yodos? After all, he wanted the food, he wanted the yad, so I should have to go and trump and overwhelm the fruit and the stems with the kosher schach. So tomorrow, b'chitei mekasavi Rabbanan. keep the nimach alein lesikoch, but lemashavtoi. Maybe you're going to go and tell me, yes, initially he tak intended it for food. But once he changed his mind and says, I'm using for schach, then the original machshava of food and stems and yodois all falls away. Can you use a machshava to mevatel the food and the susceptibility to tumah that was there before? Vatanan, don't we have the famous rule? Kol ha'keilim yoyim v'dei tumah b'machshava v'ein oylim mitumasim ele b'shinoi maisa. To make something tumah, as soon as you have a machshava, then it becomes tumah. However, to make something tohar, a machshav is not enough. You have to have a maisa. Now, what do you mean about a machshav and a maisa? Without going too much into detail, because we're going to have to repeat this again tomorrow morning when we start the shir. But basically, it's talking about a person who is manufacturing an item. Now, when you manufacture an item, when it's still being processed, before you get to the final finished item, it is not mekabel tumah yet because it's not a kli. It's what the Gemara calls a gomei kli. It's a kli in the making, but you're not there yet. It's in process. Once it's fully processed, once it's fully done, then it has a shame of a kli, and then it's mekabel tumah. Now, there are a lot of things that really depends on what your thought process is. Let's say if you have, for instance, a nice piece of leather, which was originally the hide on the back of an animal. So you've now cleaned it out, scrubbed it, put all different types of chemicals on it, and now it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of leather. Now that beautiful piece of leather you could use, for instance, as a tablecloth, or use it as a mat on the floor. And if that's your machshava, then it's a finished item. On the other hand, you might say, come on, this is too precious to use for a tablecloth. I'd rather use a plastic tablecloth. I'd rather go and use this leather to go and make a beautiful pocketbook or make from it the beautiful shoes. So therefore it's not a finished item yet. It's still in the middle. So that's what the Gemara means to say. That if I have a machshava that I'm done, I'm not going to do any more work. I'm going to sell this piece of leather the way it is. And people can use it for a bedspread, for a tablecloth, for a mat. Then it's already mekabel tumah. Not that it's tumah, it's susceptible to mekabel tumah. What happens if after that I change my mind, I see no customers are coming to buy a leather tablecloth, it's just too expensive. Okay, you know what, I'm going to go and make it now into shoes. The fact that I have a new machshava doesn't change its status. It's only b'shini ma'isa. If I start taking my scissors or my razor to cut it into smaller pieces to go and make from it shoes, that's a different story. Because I'm showing with my act that I no longer deem this to be a kli. It's no longer a finished item, it's still in the works. So it's a ma'isa, moitzi midei ma'isa, u'miyad machshava, but machshava ain't a moitzi, aloi miyad ma'isa, v'loi miyad machshava. So therefore that's what the Gemara is saying is, I don't understand the Rabbanon now, because you're telling me that it's talking about a case where originally he cut these branches for food because of the fruit which is attached to it. So therefore the chayra, when I use it for schach now, I should have to have a majority of schach against the foods and the yodois and the stems. No, Rabbanan doesn't require that. Why not? L'choira, this is real food, that's what his intention was. So you're going to tell me, well, he changed his mind from food to make it schach. Machshava ein moitzi midei machshava, and therefore, l'choira, I do not have a good explanation of the b'risa. So Mirshim, we're going to come back to this tomorrow. We'll stop here in the middle. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Any questions? Yes, Phil, I see you have a question.
Thank you.